Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 7, Lee. Sunlight spills through the ice at the river's edge, casting rainbows across the water. Leap bats at the surface, and the sparkling beads scatter his reflection. He lifts his paw and watches the water drop from his claw. This could be the same water that once flowed through Highwood. He could have seen it before, when he was home, with his friends, and here it is again, come to find him. His nose sifts the scentscape like leaves filtering rain. Every smell is sharp, fresh, new. He tests the air and finds no trace of the cave, though the forest is only a short run from where he stands in the river. Instead of fur, he smells only grass. Instead of sweat, there is cool water. Where the dank stone walls limited his senses, here the silt-washed rock heightens them. He can smell every scrap of lichen, every worm in the soil. The darkness of the den is far away, and clouds dream over his head, saturated with sunlight and the wide spaces of the world. Here in the shallow waters of the Crystal River, the young bear can finally breathe. He stands deep enough in the river that the flowing water tickles his belly. It's deliciously cold, and his fur clumps, heavy with the weight of it. Being here, now, in the open at last, even the bite of the freezing water is comfort. 3 days ago, hunger had finally driven his mother to hunt. On the first day, she had refused to let them leave the darkness of the cave. Stay here, she had insisted as she left the cave. Wait for me. Keep quiet. Keep hidden. And they had. She had returned weary at the end of the day with a rat for each of them. As she wandered further each day, her confidence in the protective solitude of the den and the surrounding landscape grew stronger. They were in enemy territory, but this part of Northwood was far from any marked trees, and no bloodfruit grew within 2 days' travel from their glen. The bears could live here, under the very noses of traitors and cowards, without ever being seen. And so their mother had finally allowed them to stray from the cave. "But do not wander far," she told them. "Stay nearby, and leave no scent on the land. If you need to make water, go in the river." Leap asked her about the river folk. Back in Highwood, the children had been forbidden from the river's edges for fear of the creatures who toured its waters. The river folk were liars and thieves, wandering the waterways of the kingdom untethered to any bloodwood. Rumour was they came in packs, destroying blood-marked trees as they swarmed from the banks and taking any animal they found, hind-marked or head-marked, back to drown in the river's deep places. She purred him comfort. The danger posed by the river folk was not what it once was, she had told him, explaining that his father's campaign to free the rivers from their threat had not been limited to Highwood. Across all the kingdom, animals were learning to enjoy the waters once again. It was the true king who had given them that freedom, not the usurper, and that would not easily be forgotten. This was another reason they would be welcomed home when the time was right. "But all the same," she signed, "be careful of the waters. Only the gods know what the Northwood traitors could have done with the gifts his father had given them. Until the badger Greymane returned with news, it would be best to assume the worst. So stay clear of the waters," she told them. "The rivers have always had eyes." But Leap saw no eyes in the shimmering depths today. The crystal waters showed him only pebbles on the riverbed and the glimmer of fish scale. He had tasted fish back in Highwood once before. It was one of the few times he had ever touched the open flesh of another creature. Fish was a delicacy favoured only by a few species within the Bloodwood, most of them turning away in disgust at the idea of feasting on the body of another living being. Featherchin, the head-marked goat who taught him forest lore, had insisted that the fish had no mind of their own, surviving on instinct alone. Yet they were difficult to catch, shying away at even a shadow over the water's edge. They could not be coaxed nearer with sign words, nor calmed with the soothing sounds of song. It was only his father, who he knew, could catch them. After the clearing of the river folk had begun, his father had taken him hunting in Long River, the mighty torrent that tumbled through Highwood on its way down from Cold Mountain. The sheer speed of the king's paw gave the fat fishes no chance of escape, and his pounce could take him from the river's edge into deep waters in a heartbeat. Leap remembered the silver body of the salmon his father had plucked from the water, sparkling in the dappled sunlight. The king had crushed the creature's skull with one swift blow, gutted the animal with a single claw to spill golden flesh from the skin. Leap had still been unsure if he should eat it. His father had sensed his reluctance. "It is fish," he signed. "It has no mind, no soul."
"I know," signed Leap.
The king had sat back against the river rock. "The gods gave you teeth," he signed. "They gave you muscle and claw. It is your right to use them as you see fit."
"But we're not allowed to kill," signed the cub. "Not any animal that carries a mark."
"There is no mark that could stain a fish's scales," signed his father, scooping out a fillet of the salmon with one paw while he signed with the other. "But you are right," he continued. "The law of the Bloodwood says that no creature may kill without expecting the wrath of the king. That is good and true. Without it, our kingdom would fall into chaos." He lifted the salmon to his eyes and inspected it for evidence of worms. "But I am king," he continued. "The law is my law. The wrath is my wrath. Should I wish to kill, then I shall."
"But you don't," signed Leap. You don't kill, do you?"
His father looked down at him, and his pale paw lay the salmon back against the stone. "Have you heard the song of Blueheart's gift?" he signed. Leap gave the sign to show he had, and the king continued. "Blueheart was the first to bring the Bloodwoods of the kingdom together as one. Before Blueheart, the Bloodwoods of the kingdom were in a perpetual state of war, all the way back to when the gods had stopped walking. Blueheart ended generations of conflict, saving countless lives. Do you remember how?"
"He had the biggest army," signed Leap.
"A big army is no guarantee of peace," signed the king. "The bigger the army, the more fighting it can sustain, and the longer the conflict continues. By the time one victory is won, another force rises up to take the place of the vanquished, and the cycle begins again. The suffering continues. At best, the songwriters give it a new name."
"But Blueheart did have the biggest army," signed Leap.
"Oh, yes," signed his father. "I don't deny it. By the time the war was over, Blueheart's forces were the largest the kingdom had ever seen. No single Bloodwood could contain them."
"So I'm right," signed Leap.
The king ignored his son's signed words and continued on. "No single Bloodwood could contain them," he signed, "because Blueheart's forces were not made of one single Bloodwood. They were made of many. The old wars ended because Blueheart chose to show mercy. Whenever his forces were near victory, he offered his enemy a chance to save their souls from death, to pledge their loyalty to him, and to receive his mark. And so, his forces waxed with every battle as his enemy's forces waned. In the end, he did not need to fight. He need only offer his mercy, and the battle
was won. And he could not offer mercy if it was not his to give, signed Leap, understanding. The king grunted his approval.
The reason I do not kill is not because I fear the killing, he signed. I am not held by the law I enforce. If I were, then I would no longer be king, but just another subject of the law, and the nation would once again descend into leaderless chaos. I will not allow that to happen. When I spare a life, it is not because the world has any power over me. I do not kill because I choose not to kill. That is what makes me king. Without choice, there can be no mercy. And without mercy, there's only death.
Leap touched his mark in that moment, trying to bind his father's words to his soul.
And besides, signed the king, lifting the salmon to his lips to swallow the fillet in one go, it is only a fish.
Leap remembered the cool of the flesh, the way it had melted even as it reached the back of his mouth. The rats his mother had brought back to the den were welcomed greedily, of course, but his stomach ached for something more, and the river offered it. But here, in the north, the fish were small. They flashed beneath the water, a step or two deeper into the flow. Leap splashed closer, but by the time he got there, the waters were clear, and the flashes had slipped further downstream. He grunted, frustrated again, and swiped at the water. All morning it had been like this, the fish slipping out of reach the moment he moved as if they were toying with him. They're only small, he reasoned, and nothing like the strong salmon of Highwood. It would be easy for him to catch them, but somehow they eluded him. He pounced, and again he hit empty water. Back and forth he jumped until he was far from where he had started, and well out of sight of his little brother. He'd been charged by his mother to take care of Snowborn while she was hunting. "Don't let him out of your sight," she had commanded. But the water had been so enticing, and the allure of fish had drawn him in like the moon draws the moth. What harm could come to either of them out here in the middle of nowhere? There were no armies, no scouting parties here, deep within the enemy's own territory. And even if his brother did slip into the water by mistake, Leap would be able to fish him out when he washed downstream. But now Leap had wandered so far that the cub's scent was lost to him. He waded to the bank and calmed his breathing, reaching out with his senses. It was barely a heartbeat before he found him again. The sound was easy to hear, his little brother yelping with joy while water splashed around him. It was fine then, thought Leap. Nothing bad happened while he'd been off fishing. His mother had worried without reason. Another sound then found its way to Leap's ear, something smaller, higher than his brother's snorts. A chirp, almost. Still joyous, but somehow different. Leap climbed the high bank and searched upriver for the shape of Snowborn in the water. Sure enough, there he was, running circles in the shallows, kicking up water as he ran. But there was also something else there. Some extra splash following his route. Something slipping in and out of the water. Something dark and shimmering. A fish, maybe? Could a fish be chasing him? Leap lumbered along the riverbank, picking his way between cool patches of snow and curious if his brother had some magic to draw the fish. But as he got closer, he realized this was no fish. In the water with his brother was something stoat-like, a huge dark weasel sliding in and out of his brother's waves, chattering with its own form of laughter. Leap made his way to the water's edge and called his brother over. He waited formally on the bank as his brother trundled over. Leap gave a sign of greeting to the figure in the water, who had now stopped pursuing his brother and stood up on its hind legs. It had no mark that Leap could see, though that could be expected, having been so long in the water. A sudden thought struck him. His own mark. He could not reach up to check the fur on his head for the remains of the bloodwood sap now, not in front of a newcomer like this. The creature might take it for some sort of promise. He would have to wait, find some still water and check his reflection. How could he have been so stupid? Why hadn't he thought of the danger the river posed to this last link with his father? Snowborn didn't have the same worry. He'd been born here in the north. He'd never even met their father to receive his own mark. And now Leap could be the same, just some markless bear without rank or right. His mother would be furious. The creature in the river slipped closer. As it ducked in and out of the water, Leap saw the water bead and slip from its silky fur. And still it returned him no greeting. "What are you?" signed Leap. The creature in the river cocked its head to one side.
"I'm Shoreback," it signed. "Do you want to play?"
Snowborn tugged for Leap's attention.
"He's my friend," he sighed. "We've been playing. You should come play with us. He's really good. He moves like a fish, but you could catch him. Please, let's play."
Leap sent his little brother a reminder of their mother's instruction. "Keep quiet, keep hidden."
"He's my friend," signed Snowborn. "I want to play."
"My brother says you move like a fish," signed Leap to the newcomer. "Is that what you are? A fish?" The figure in the river span on the spot, water tumbling from its coat like rain. Sure enough, it had no blood mark anywhere on its body. It signed Leap a new word. Otter.
"Otters are not fish," signed Shoreback, clicking amusement. "We eat fish. What do you eat? Fish don't go on the land."
"We eat fish," signed Leap.
"No, we don't," signed Snowborn. "We eat Mama. She gives us milk and rats. We eat rats."
"We eat bloodfruit," signed Leap. "What's that?" signed the otter. "The fruit that grows on trees with a blood mark," signed Leap. "Well, it grows on some of them. Most of it grows on the bloodwood tree." "What's that? Haven't you ever seen one?"
"I've never seen one,"
signed Snowborn beside him. "You're too young," signed Leap. "You'll see one when we get back to Highwood."
"Is that where you're going?"
signed the otter.
"I've been there."
"No, you haven't," signed Leap. "It's half a moon away."
"I have,"
signed the otter.
"Oh, close to it. I've been everywhere."
"No, you haven't," signed Leap. "You said you'd never seen a bloodwood tree. How could you have been everywhere and never seen a bloodwood tree?"
"I forgot,"
signed the otter. Snowborn dipped a paw back into the water.
"Can we play now?"
he signed. "You can't forget a bloodwood tree," signed Leap, ignoring him. "They're the tallest tree in the forest. You can walk for days and still see them."
"I know," signed the otter. "I know that. It's just that there's no fish in the bloodwood, so we don't go there much. That's why I forgot."
The otter brushed its ear with a paw. Its fur was smooth like sheet water. Leap could feel the pull of his own matted fur around his belly in undignified clumps. "There's fish in the bloodwoods," he signed, growing frustrated. "I've eaten it."
"You can't catch a fish near a bloodwood."
"My father did."
"Oh, must be a good fisher,"
signed Shoreback. Leap felt the warmth of pride bloom against his wet skin. "He is," he signed, and then corrected himself. "He was."
"My father says you can't catch a fish near a bloodwood," continued the otter. "They're too quick. Something in the water makes them super sneaky. They don't scare like normal fish, and they're really good at finding hiding places."
Leap lifted his chin. "Well," he signed, "my dad can." Snowborn, unable to hold himself back any longer, took off into the water, the spray flooding into the air around him. Shoreback ducked down beneath the water as Snowborn bounded on top of him, reappearing a few feet further upstream, chirping with excitement again.
"Play!"
beckoned Snowborn, urging his brother to join him.
"Play! Play!"
Leap ducked his head at the water's edge and stared through the ripples into his own reflection. His mark was still there, a deep red smudge against the light brown wobble of his forehead. He sighed with relief. Snowborn and Shoreback were whooping and barking around each other again. Leap wanted to enter the water, to splash through the shallows like his brother, but he feared for his mark now. He'd been stupid before fishing around in the waters like that. He dared not even touch his mark now in order to vow never to enter the water again out of fear that his paw might smudge it. He lay down on the bank and watched the spray of water in the river. It had been a long time since he'd played with anyone but his brother. This otter was young, much younger than Leap had even been before their escape from Highwood. Back home, he wouldn't have given the creature a second thought. He wanted to hunt, to test his strength in the field and wood, not to splash around in the shallows, he told himself. He was a king. He should do kingly things, like his father did. He wished he'd paid more attention to what his father did. It all seemed so long ago now. The past receded before him like mist, vanishing even as he reached out for it. There were some moments that came back clear as river water, but others were swept away and he was unable to pull them back. How many memories were already lost to him, gone as though they'd never existed? He should have used his time in the cave to make up songs about them so he would always remember. He'd had enough of grand battles and godsong. He wanted songs of the small moments, songs that remembered his father's face, the smell of his coat on cool summer mornings, the touch of his paw. The otter, Shoreback, suddenly cut off his pursuit of Snowborn and stood alert in the water. Snowborn bounced around him once, twice, but the otter ignored him. A moment later and the creature disappeared beneath the water, slipping downstream faster than Leap could run on land. They didn't have to wait for long to find out why. A moment later and their mother came tearing through the water upstream, white walls exploding around her as she forced her way along the riverbed. A huge catfish hung from her jaw as she ran, but it tumbled into the water as she opened her mouth to roar, and it was lost within the lashing foam. Snowborn scrambled from the water and stood shivering beside Leap. The otter was nowhere to be seen. Neither was the catfish. Their mother turned to them from the deep water and sent them both an image of her telling them to keep hidden from the eyes of the river.
"We were playing," signed Snowborn.
"Playing," signed their mother with a growl. "Leap, you let your little brother play with river folk." Leap cowered at his mother's anger.
"I didn't know," he signed.
"Are you blind, child?" she signed, swiping the words out viciously.
"I'm sorry."
"Now I've lost our food as well," she signed.
"I'll help you find it," signed Leap,
taking a step into the water. His mother roared again, sending him a picture of the two siblings running back to the cave. They were only too glad to oblige. They skittered over the grass and back towards the cover of the trees, Leap grunting at his brother when he strayed too far from the way.
"Why is Mama so angry?"
asked Snowborn when they were back in the darkness of the cave. Leap shot him a picture of Snowborn splashing like a fool in the waters, twirling around the otter. "We don't play with creatures like that," he signed, trying to sign his words with confidence. "It's not proper. It lowers us." Snowborn hid his nose in his paws. A moment later and Leap heard him whimpering. He lay down next to his brother on the cold earth. The cave was vibrant with the smell of the river and damp fur. Leap sent his brother a picture of home. The towering oaks of the deep forest, the dell of blossom where he first opened his eyes, the dark mulch of beech and feather fern that made his bed, from which he could see the towering shadow of the blood oak against the night sky, a mighty sentinel to guard his sleep. He nudged his brother to watch his words. "One day I'll show you," he signed. "One day we'll go home. Then Mama won't be angry. We'll be there together, where we belong."
"I hate it here," sighed Snowborn.
Leap leaned in close, wrapping himself around his little brother. The sound of spring winds whistled in the trees outside the cave. Their branches had been free of snow for half a moon now. The world had woken, and still, the bears remained here, exiled in the north, without word from friend or foe. The loneliness of the world pressed itself on the cave mouth, sealing them inside. They'd never escape this place, thought Leap. This was their gravesite. The world carried on without them, barely noticing their absence. It wasn't fair. None of this was fair. His brother nuzzled in closer, their fur blending until Leap could no longer tell their bodies apart. They're all they had, he realized. The two brothers and their mother, an island against the flow. It was a place they could call their own, at least. The world beyond their small circle could do what it wants, but they'd always have this one small kingdom. The bears lay in their cave and dozed. The sky was drifting towards orange by the time their mother returned to the cave. She slipped inside the entrance, a shadow against the last light of day. A weight hung from her jaws. "You found the fish," sighed Leap, rising from his brother's warmth. The air was starting to chill. Their mother signed nothing but dropped the kill to the floor and set about cleaning it for her cubs. She was tired. Her body shivered with the strain of this effort. She must have run for the whole afternoon to retrieve the fish from the river's current, hauling the thing doggedly back to the cave so that they could eat. It was all for them. And it was their fault. "I'm sorry," sighed Leap, as his brother began to stir, unfolding himself from their tangle of limbs. "I didn't mean to disobey you." His mother grunted tired forgiveness. Snowborn wandered over sleepily and leaned against his mother's leg as she stripped the carcass and stretched the skin to form a clean sheet from which they could eat. "A king should take responsibility for his actions," sighed Leap. "And I do. I won't let Snowborn out of my sight again," he sighed, touching his mark. "We won't go near the river again except to make water. We'll stay hidden. No one will see." His mother finished preparing their food and nudged Snowborn to eat. The cub drifted forwards and bowed his head, at first reluctant, but soon greedy with the flesh. "It's my fault," sighed Leap. He waited for his mother's answer, hoping against hope that she would not confine them to the cave again. He had tasted freedom from its stone, and he dreaded she would close the walls in again. If he could show her he understood what he'd done, how close he'd come to ruining everything, then maybe she would trust him. Shawback wouldn't tell anyone, he wanted to tell her. He was Snowborn's friend, he wouldn't betray them. If only he could make her believe him. But he couldn't. They'd known the otter for only a few moments. They had no idea what its allegiance would be. And besides, it could betray them without even realizing it. A family of bears hidden in the forest? I mean, who else could they be? Leap felt the weight of shame heavy on his mark. Why had he mentioned Highwood? Or his father? Why had he risked everything on such a stupid boast? He deserved his mother's punishment. He waited for it, but she gave no sign words one way or the other. She just sat before the kill watching Snowborn eat. Leap hung his head. He caused her so much trouble, he didn't deserve to be forgiven. The truth of it stung. It was his fault. It was because of him that she'd spent the rest of the day hunting for that damn fish. Also, he would not go hungry. His nose picked up the dark scent of blood from where Snowborn picked meat from bone. If only Leap could fish like his father, then his mother wouldn't have to exhaust herself like this. He could fill his own belly. She wouldn't have to worry about him then. He could stop being a burden to her. He hated how much he needed her. Why couldn't he be strong like his father? He was the king. He should act like the king. The scent of flesh drew him forwards. Heavily, he dragged himself to where his brother ate. The light of sunset warmed the cool of the cave with the colours of blood. The open flesh of the fish glimmered darkly in the evening glow, richer than Leap had expected it to be. The skin of the fish was pulled back where his mother had split it, and his brother had already pulled away much of the outer muscle, his muzzle slick and wet with the effort of it. The smell was not as Leap remembered fish had been in Highwood. The fish of Highwood had been rich and aromatic with soft oils. This was different. This was deeper. There was a warmth at the heart of it that did not belong to the memory of fish. Their mother looked up from where she had been watching Snowborn eat, and she fixed her gaze on Leap. He looked back at her. She sent him no picture. She gave him no sign. Instead, she was waiting. She was waiting for him. Leap shifted his attention down to where his brother chewed at torn flesh. Familiar scents scored themselves into his scentscape, no longer ignored. Leap took them in, remembered them, one by one as his brother ate. First was the smooth odour of slick fur. Then came the pungent salt stain of sweat. But most of all, bound to every scrap of the otter's spread skin, there was fear. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.